Good morning, and welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church on this fine November morning, first Sunday in the month. Hope everyone's doing well. Do we have visitors? I invite everyone to come in and find a seat and get ready to join us in worship service. Visitors this morning.
We have Mark, Lisa, Elise, and Lily Bartleson. We have David Johnson, and we have Carrie Quayle. And I think they're all here for the first time.
Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian.
John Bartleson is there, and then Carrie is there with the gardeners, and David is right there. Well.
Do we have any other visitors here? We're glad to have all of you with us this morning and hope to see you again.
While we're doing that, Sibby and Joyce have been here before. They've been coming to the early service. They came to this hour once. They united with the church last Sunday morning, and they want to come and get to meet the rest of you. So hold up your hand. After church, make sure you be the Blom. B-L-O-H-M. CBS and Joyce. And they've worked in the kitchen. They are the kind of church members you kind of look for, and you never expect to happen. But thank y'all. They know how to wash dishes and sweep floors. We're going to talk about service this morning in service.
Very good. I remind each of you to not forget Tuesday. Go voice your opinion if you not already have. It's a momentous day. It's the first day in my career that I've ever had a holiday on election day. Schools are closed. Very interesting. Haven't quite figured it out yet, but I'm looking for it.
You may want to change your battery and your smoke detector for your safety.
There you go.
Somebody asked me to mention that today. Lady out in town, so I told her I would.
All right. Announcements. Do we have any announcements that we need to make that is not in our bulletin? Yes, sir.
I'd like to welcome you. We're going to invite a couple of opportunities.
Yeah.
do we have any others?
Outside, you see some of these. I just tore this one up, and it forms into a box. And if I can do it, anybody can. And this is used to be Love Loaves, That's Loaves and Fishes, and this opportunity to help people in Myanmar, used to be called Burma, and we keep 25% of the resources here, 25% goes to Memphis, and 50% will go to Myanmar to help with rebuilding after the that big storm they had a few years ago. Typhoon.
Okay, do we have any others? Yes, Sherry. Sherry, for all your hard work. Any other? Yes, ma'am. I remind everyone to sign the attendance register, the red pad, and make sure you pass it to everybody in your pew. Let's go to prayer requests. Do we have prayer requests? request this morning. I have one I would like to add. I have a dear friend that lives in Lubbock, Texas. Her name is Libby Moreland, and she and I worked together for several years at my elementary school, and she has lost both her mother and her father in the span of 2 weeks and 3 days, and she's devastated. So please remember Libby. Do we have other prayer requests? Yes, sir.
Before I left to come to church, by the way, and
yes, sir.
Yes. Send a prayer circle. Our plans for this is having trouble with her feet. She was almost walking crippled yesterday. Right now she's taking care of our youth, and she said she doesn't have enough time not to be able to walk. So pray for Pam's feet. Paul had the eye surgery Friday and was successful. So thank you for prayer. Diana Stout's mother, Connie Bride, is not doing well. So pray for Ms. Bride and Diana and her family. Pam's cousin, Jared Sigel, lost his father.
Do we have other shit? Mm-hmm. Oh, dear. Yes, Mike. Do we have any others? Yes, ma'am. If there are no other prayer requests, let us pause for a moment of silence, a moment of silent prayer, and prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. someone with me. Through the stories of faith and acts of grace, we are reminded that God is always here.
By God's presence, we are guided. Through God's Word, we are instructed. With God's Spirit, we are formed.
Come, let us lift our voices in praise
and offer our lives in service to God.
God's love is forever.
God's Word is with us.
Hear God's Word calling us.
All who humble themselves will be exalted.
Let's all turn
to
our hymnals now to hymn 76.
Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. If we had 1,000 tongues today, we wouldn't have room. So let's make it sound like 1,000, okay?
Amen. You may be seated.
I invite you to say the Apostles' Creed on the wall or in your back of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our call to confession is taken from 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 17. David said to God, I am the one who has sinned and done wrong. I invite you to read our prayer of confession along with me. Eternal God, in every age you have raised up men and women to live and die in faith. We confess that we are indifferent to your will. You call us to proclaim your name, but we are silent. You call us to do what is just, but we remain idle. You call us to live faithfully, but we are afraid. In your mercy, forgive us. Give us courage to follow in your way, that joined with those from ages past who have served you in faith, hope, and love, we may inherit the kingdom you promised in Jesus Christ. Amen. And we have the assurance of forgiveness in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land.
Because he was forsaken, I expected you were the condemned. I deny the power of your spirit is within me. Come to God and then forgive. Because he was forsaken, unexpected, you were condemned. I realize I'm willing to speak to me. Because you died and rose again. Thank you.
invite Melanie and Sam, David, Paul, John Wagner. Are you able to assist this morning? And First Corinthians, chapter 11.
Beginning with verse 23. And this is so amazing. This amazing love that God has for us and has shown us and does show us. And the communion service of the observance of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Oh, that's the way that we can acknowledge, remember, proclaim the amazing love that God has shown and is showing and shall continue to show to those who believe in Him. Hear these words, the Apostle Paul instructing the church at Corinth concerning observing the sacrament. He says, he received it from the Lord. For I received from the Lord. The Lord Jesus revealed it to him. What I'm passing on to you, and we have it passed up down to us. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And I want to bring to your attention, we remember his death. But let's also remember that death did not hold him. God raised him up on the third day. And he walked on earth for 40 days. Then God took him up to heaven as the disciples looked on. And he promised as he was going, one, to send his Spirit to be with us until he returns. And he promised that he would return. And there were people watching as he was taken up to heaven, and two men, were there angels? I don't know. They spoke to those who were watching and said, "Don't just stand here looking up into heaven. Go back to town and wait for the power of the Holy Spirit, or the presence, the spiritual presence of Jesus to come to be with you, and then you'll be my witnesses." But he's coming back, just like he said. So as we remember his death, remember he was dead, buried, but he rose again. Ascended with the promise to return to claim those who die believing in him, and those who happen to be alive when he returns, those who believe in him, take us all to be with him in heaven. And he says, so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Blessings of bread, cut us off our blessings of this bread.
Lord God, thank you. Thank you for what Christ has done for us, when he gave his life on Calvary, when he suffered in the body, and when he died, because his body was broken. Lord, use this bread to teach us this thing. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember his body broken for me. And if we please, I would share with you that Jesus remembered his body broken for you. And we can share that right now and write down the line. A cup. They probably used the common cup. And they all shared the presence of God. Lord God, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. Symbolized or exemplified is the cup, the content thereof. The fruit of the vine, it reminds us of your blood, shed for us. Let us gift us, Lord. Our leaves cut. Our leaves. Your love, Lord. In Jesus' name. The blood of Christ, shed for me and for you. All of you.
Our offertory sentence is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. I invite the ushers to come forth to accept our tithes and our offerings. if we have some special music now.
Thank you.
18 to 20 years. And if you children will come here and help me, whether the sun will burn this hand this morning. Other children too. Take a big paper and pass it around. Take a big paper and pass it around. And then a pencil. Take a pencil and pass it around. What do we do when somebody's sick? What do we often do when somebody's sick? We send them a note, do we not? So let's write this entry in a note. All of us write this entry in a note. Did you write this entry in a note? Okay. And say, what would you like to say to the man who's sick? Is this the rest of the children want to come with us? Okay. And then the parents, folks, they need to talk and help the little folks, okay? You can say, get well, we miss you. Just say hi if you want to. You need a piece of paper too? Right behind you, right? Is there an extra one here? Does everybody have one right here? Does everybody have one? So what would you like to send to Miss Andrea this morning? That's helping people who need our help. Would you like to say, get well, Miss Andrea? You need a pencil? All right. Everybody have a pencil? Need a pencil? Need some help there? Okay. Say, get well, G-E-T-W-E-L-L, G-E-T-W-E-L-L. We're going to send these with Bridget John and Miss Conley. That be okay? They haven't said that takes them. So write something on it. We're assuming that mom and daddy, well, I need a pencil. Mom and daddy, a pencil. Here we go. Mom and daddy, I'm sorry, okay. What would you like to say? Just say something. You'll draw a picture? Even a stick person, okay? Mom and Dad, you may want to help. After the fact, even now, or when they get back to the pew, this is Mr. John, just happening right here. And we didn't get a note to them. If somebody else wants to send a note to Miss Andrew, get well, we need you. Or something to that day. Now, see, all of this happened, boys and girls. About 9:45, I checked the messages, and there that message was saying, we need somebody to take this into a place this morning. Okay? So I did this so quickly without much thinking, but I thought quick enough that it was a great idea. Does everybody have their note started at least? Okay, well, let's go over to Miss Andrea. Miss Melanie. Go over to Miss Melanie and sing, and then you can take them back to your seat and work on them while the preacher preaches. Okay? How's that? And make sure Mr. John and Miss Melanie get these before we go home. Y'all go over to Miss Melanie and sing now?
I had an idea that, you know, our pastor is born and raised.
Make sure you said it G-E-T instead of G-I-T. Okay.
And as far as I can see, the injury is not so funny. There are lots of people who think we are, well, somebody thought we had sisters, and when I played the word, she called her children that she was a my own father was not going to be there. He was calling me Andrea, and we weren't even ready to say.
That's fine. Well, some of them don't, but the rest of them do.
Okay. God's got all the right ways. Yeah.
that part, so let's pray. Lord God, send these children forth doing good every day of their lives, helping those who are not well. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll go back to your seat. We are in a social church today.
Please listen to the word from Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 through 12. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must obey them and do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and their tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogue. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them Rabbi. But you are not to be called Rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth Father, for you have one Father, and He is in heaven. Nor are you to be called Teacher, for you have one Teacher, the Christ. The greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
It is a servant role. We'll talk about verse 11 of this passage this morning. And I have about 15 minutes. I know that I may have your attention that long for a 30-minute sermon. Let me try to get as much as we can in there. I grew up hearing a lot of complaints. Don't you grow up hearing a lot of complaints? Complaining, complaining, complaining. My community, my family, my sisters, the people I ran with, we complained a lot. I did a lot of it. I did my share of complaining. We complained about so much. Just about everything that we complained about. One of the complaints was about what the Bible teaches for Christians to do. The complaint being, the Bible is always telling us what we cannot do. And the statement was, that would go further to say, I just wish the Bible, or we could find in the Bible, more of what we ought to do. And I'm remembering back to teenage days. And maybe I remember it so vividly is because I was participating in it, and maybe because I did a lot in it. But we knew that there were so many thou shalt nots in the Bible. So it seemed like that we were living in a no, 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 don't world. Do you ever feel like that? We were not only living in it, we were stranded in it, and we would never get out of it. We were doomed to it. Does sometimes the world seem like that to you? It's no, 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 don't. Well, situation probably hasn't changed since I was a teenager. Along with the complaints, it was implied that we wanted to hear more of what can we do. Well, I'm not sure that we really knew what we were asking for at that time, because the Bible does tell us. The Bible tells us what not to do, but it also gives us things that we must do. It tells us what not to do that will keep us out of heaven. It tells us what God's people ought to do, need to do, God's called to do. It tells us what brings displeasure to God,
And it tells us what brings pleasure to God. The lesson today is about the shall nots. We've read it. Don't be like these folks. But it's also about these things. And actually, one verse I want to center in on. And that is verse 11. And the role of the Christians are called to be servants. And then somebody says, are you sure we should have asked? Do we really want to hear that we are called to be servants? Somebody might say, oh my, I wish we hadn't have asked. We were thinking of more positive things. We were thinking of parties. We were thinking of picnics. We were thinking of singing. We were thinking of trips. We were thinking of dancing. And we were thinking of a bunch of fun things. Well, let me tell you, all of these can be and are part of the Christian experience, of the Christian life. Jesus went to a lot of parties. Jesus went to some wedding parties. Jesus went to picnics where thousands of people were gathered, and he had to bring all the food. No, he didn't bring it all, but he had to supply it. Take what somebody else brought and ask God to multiply it and bless it. So, all of these fun things, picnic out on the plain or out to the edge of the mountains, beautiful thing. Some of y'all went to the picnic last Sunday night. It just had such a beautiful time. But Christians must not forget the servant role. Christian people are called to be servants, and we must not forget our servant role. One of the problems with much of the preaching today that you hear on TV, it's called prosperity religion. And you never hear about sacrifice. You never hear anything, but if you will send us your money, plant some seeds, that's what they're talking about, send us some money, then you'll get blessed and blessed and blessed and blessed. And they never talk about sacrifice on their part and never talk to the people about sacrifice except to sacrifice that seed money that they send in. But Christians are called to be servants in the world where they live, not just suppliers of money to those on television asking for it. About being a servant. When are we a servant? Or what are we talking about when we're talking about being a servant? A servant of God. We serve God the Father and Jesus the Son when we do things just for Jesus. When we do things just for God. And I hope this morning that we have come here to this place just for God. Now some of us may have come because parents said to. Some of us may have come because we felt we needed it ourselves. But when we come and do things for God, our need is met. I still remember that little lady, Ms. Sharp. She would pray, every time she would pray in church, she would say, Lord, I pray that we have come to this place this day for no other reason than to glorify you or to worship you. And I'd be sitting there as a 10-year-old and I'd think, or a 12-year-old and I'd think, did I come just to worship God? And that would shake me into thinking, center your thoughts on God, Larry. Center your thoughts on God. So even through her prayer, she would call me to that. Worship is one way we serve God. That's part of our service. Prayer is part of our service. But we're going to God
in expressing before Him our praise and thanksgiving to Him as well as our need. Study of the Bible, that helps us. There's no question that studying the Bible helps us. But studying the Bible is like sitting at the feet of God or sitting at the feet of Jesus, and He is speaking to us. And that is service to Him, or it's an honor to Him. Singing of the hymns. We don't sing the hymns to each other, though we hopefully witness to each other, but the purpose of the hymns, the main purpose, is to glorify God, to lift Him up, to give praise to Him, to honor Him. Through our singing of the hymns, we let others know about God and that we've experienced God. The songwriter has experienced God, but our purpose for singing is to sing to God, sing to Him and sing about Him, playing an instrument. We like in the congregation, and I like it even up here, to be kind of entertained when I come to church. But the first and foremost reason for instrumental music in church is to bring glory to God or enable us to be more on key or in tune with our singing and with our playing. And each shake of the bell, you shake the bell. What do you do to a bell? Shake it? Or each, ringing of the bell. A little slow this morning. Each placing the hand on the key, or do you strum the harp? Whatever you do to a harp, if it's a strum of the guitar, or the squeeze of the squeeze box, or the guitar, that's for God's glory. We're doing it, we're serving Him that way. And that's what we're called to do. We do it for the glory and the praise. Our tithing. We passed the plate this morning. We'll talk just a moment about tithing. We've been behind on our budget. You may be up on your tithing, but let me challenge you a little bit. We're behind on our budget. Jim Baker has written a note. We've published it many, many, many times. We hope that you'll read it and dig down deeper. But tithing and offering. And let me give my testimony about tithing and offering. Tithing is a joy and a pleasure. And I say that again without flinching. Tithing for Larry Ewan is a joy and a pleasure. And tithing has become for my girls a joy and a pleasure. And one of them changed jobs and decreased her income, and she says, "But Dad, I'm going to have to cut my tithe." It was sad that she was cutting her tithe. The other one got a better job, and she was saying, "But Daddy, we can increase our tithe." And one of them that moved away said, "I'm going to send some tithe back to Jenkins Church to help with some of the stuff that we want to make sure goes on there." So they have picked up. Tithing is a joy and a pleasure and opportunity. Friends, I wasn't brought up this way. Tithing was something that was almost extracted from you. And you had to kind of have to have it pulled, like pulling IT from you. And kind of way I was, the neighborhood that I grew up in and the economic conditions that I grew up in, we thought of tithing, we're having to give to the church and they're asking for more. Well, I found it a joy and a pleasure. Doing it out of gratitude for what God has done for me. And when I think about some of the things God has done for me, I get a little emotional. I try to cover it up, but I get a little emotional. But God saved me from a terrible life, and He did it through Jesus Christ. He saved me from a terrible life here on earth, but He also saved me from an eternity of torment. And there's more than that. He blessed me with a great congregation. Today, I start my 22nd year on this corner. And some of you have been around for all those 21 years and one Sunday. You've been tough. Thank you. But you've blessed me with God has blessed me with a great congregation of people that I can work with and try to lead. Some of you have come in just this Sunday, your first Sunday here. We've been here on this corner 21 years, plodding away, and God has given me an opportunity to stay here and to serve.
it might have been torment for some of you. You could use another word for torment if you wanted to, but I won't use that, especially from the pulpit. But it's been a blessing to me. He's blessed me with a great congregation, people to work with. We pool our resources and do so much for the community. The youth program, he's incidentally set back and enjoy such a youth program that many churches would just cry for. If they could have it, they would just rejoice in it. I've got to just kind of observe it from the sideline. He has sent our way children. These children up here, and when we graduate those children, God sends us some more. Or all these ladies are having new children, and we've been blessed with these new children. He's enabled me to participate in the lives of some aged people. And we go out the second Wednesday of each month. We go out somewhere and just fellowship, and it's always to go eat. Isn't that good? He's allowed me to do that. And he's allowed me to be a part of helping those people around me. One way is through the Love Loaf program that we participated in for so many years. And then we changed it to the Loaves and Fishes. So take your... off my little box. You have a little box here. Take this, fill it up with coins, bring it back Thanksgiving Sunday or the Sunday after. Pray for the people of Myanmar. Every time you put a quarter in here or wherever, we'll keep some of the money here. We'll send some to the denomination. We'll send some to Myanmar for their benefit. And God has allowed me to do that. So participate in it and invite you to join. And so that has been part of my tithing. God has given me enough food to eat, too much sometimes, enough clothing to wear, a house to live in. Transportation gets junky sometimes, and my wife don't want to ride with me. She said this car is too junky, but I can still get to where I need to go. He's given me friends and more friends, and there's been some terrible times in my life in the past 21 years. You've experienced them with me. You have upheld us, but God has brought me through. So I say it's a pleasure, it's a blessing, it's an honor, it's a privilege to tithe to the work of the Lord. Two great examples of tithing I'll bring to your attention. The Apostle Paul, he wrote a bunch of letters. He opened three of them by saying, I'm a servant. This is Paul. I'm a servant of God, or a servant of Jesus Christ. Then he spoke in two of the letters about God whom he served, or Jesus Christ whom he served. Paul recognized his role as a servant as well as that of an apostle. And then he wrote of Jesus, how Jesus, though he was God, put on flesh and blood and physical body and came to earth and worked as a servant, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And then there's Paul, and then there's Jesus. You know, Paul, you say, well, that's just another man. Well, it's a man that God called and used. But Jesus, that's the very Son of God. And he was willing to come to earth as a servant. Incidentally, what one version will call a servant, or talk about serving, another version of the Bible says worship. We serve the Lord, or we worship the Lord. We, in this congregation, we are serving God. How are we serving God? We serve Him when we serve our fellow man. We serve Him when we serve the least of our brethren. And if you don't believe that, read Matthew chapter 25. We serve God when we build a wheelchair ramp. And then when we go and that person dies, and we go and move a wheelchair ramp. And I'm pointing to John Rippey. He worked yesterday, and we'll work this week on a wheelchair ramp, if he'll call me. I'm not real handy with a hammer, but I can kind of supply the need. When we deliver meal on wheels, we're serving God. That's helping the least of the brethren. When we teach people, children or adults, about God and about Jesus and about how to live the Christian life, we're serving God. When we go to Macon County and put siding on a house, we're serving God. When we go as a youth group to a safe harbor house and assist there. And there are so many ways that we can serve God. And I didn't make it in the 15 minutes. Please forgive me. But maybe the Lord will bless you for sticking with me. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for the call.